Aloha!
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way. Whoop, whoop.
Hello and welcome, we're back. From the BallerLifestyle.com, it's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 510 of the show. Appreciate your patronage. Do us a favor and send us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Also, call us. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS 8257. That's a phone number. Call us up. Tell us what's up. Lastly, consider becoming a subscriber. It's $5 a month. You get all the bonus content we do here each and every week. Click the link in the show notes, sign up there. It's delivered directly to your podcast app every week. You should do that. One more thing. If you're not in a position where you can afford the $5 a month, go on Apple Podcasts right now and leave us a review. 5 stars. Don't be a bitch. Okay? Step up. Do your part.
I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. And I had an interesting discussion. I was out with my son yesterday.
Okay.
And he, you know how like kids will bring up some facts that they learned, and it's usually from TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you're like, that's fucking bullshit. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So my son just casually goes, do you know the average person walks by 38 murders in their life? And I was like, what?
No.
I was like I'm just whistling by an alley and someone's getting choked out. And I'm like, that's crazy. What are you talking about? He's like, no, I heard it. And you're like, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then I Googled it. And an article last year in like May was some study said the average person walks by 36 murderers in their lifetime.
Whoa.
And I think that's pretty crazy, but also believable. Just we're talking about walking by. It's not like you have 36 friends who have murdered.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, so when we're talking to people right now, how many killers are we talking to right now?
At least a couple.
Like, there's definitely someone listening to us right now who has seen someone's last breath at their own hands.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, 100%. 949-464-TBLS. Call us up and tell us about it.
Yeah, maybe use like a voice modulator. So like, yeah, we can hear about your murders.
Yeah, because, you know, murder by stranger, unless you're on a cruise, exceedingly rare. It just doesn't happen that much unless, you know, maybe you're involved in a gang situation or that kind of life. You know, you're from Serbia or something, but being randomly murdered almost.
Right. But maybe Gam Gam made one too many comments about your black boyfriend and you're like, it was just her time. It was just her time.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, you see her rolling that $600 social security checks rolling in every month. And you're like, that could be mine.
Grandma, it's really tough for you to live in a house with stairs. It would be a shame if something happened.
I could be mine, we don't have to tell the authorities, like the check comes in every week and we could just deposit it to our account with our phone these days. No big deal.
This could be our secret.
Yeah. It's our little, I mean, look, murders happen, you know, crimes of passion.
So many murders go unsolved because it's like, hey, they're overworked. I mean, we watched The Wire.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, those row houses, sure. We have 36 murders that we're not going to deal with.
Yeah.
But like, there's some that, you know, the authorities are like, probably killed, but like, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
We're going to have a whole court case.
In most places, that's why I say do your murdering in a small town. If you do murders where people
small town or big town?
Well, big town has big town police.
True. But I feel, I guess, the like you said,
Yeah.
Random murders don't happen. Because I could be in Hoboken, I could murk someone tomorrow and just go about my business, and I'd probably get away with it.
True.
If I didn't know them.
That's true. Yeah. That's there.
But that doesn't really happen.
Yeah. There was this a serial killer, and he was from Alaska, and his name was like Israel something. Mm. And they interviewed him, and I can't remember how they caught him.
He met someone named Bob Palestine and set him off.
Yes, that was it. That was it. He had his own Gaza Strip situation. What he would do is he would like get on a plane. He would get like, he was a contractor or something, so he'd have a lot of time off. He would get on a plane and he would pick somewhere random, like Vermont. And then he'd fly to Vermont. And then
he had an itch.
Yeah. And then he would rent a car and drive to like Chattanooga. And then, you know, he's slowly like the fire's building inside of him, you know, like how am I going to do it? And then he would find a random old couple and stab them to death. And then he'd get back in his rental car and drive back to Vermont and then fly back to Alaska. Then the next time he'd fly to Utah and he'd rent a car and he'd drive to Billings, Montana, and he'd find somebody. And so there were no patterns. Now, that being said, they caught him eventually. So
did he pull a BTK? And he's like, I give up. You bragging. Just have to, you have to arrest me because you're not solving these crimes.
He was bragging. And so speaking of random murder, I remembered a couple years ago, I was just sitting at my desk and I remembered one time when I was a kid, we would scrounge our 85 cents to put in the hopper. So the bus would take us to the beach.
Gotcha.
And sometimes we wouldn't even have 85 cents. We'd have just some pennies. And we figured if all of us threw our money in there quickly, the bus driver wouldn't have time to count everybody's money. And he would just dump it in the thing. It was no big deal. And the bus driver was pretty wise to that. But then we'd come back from the beach and the bus would drop us off right by this apartment complex. And then we'd go and we'd swim in the pool at the beach to like rinse all the sand off us and stuff. And then the manager of the apartment complex would come kick us out every time. And I'm like, how? And it was huge. It was like 1,000 apartments, you know, maybe like 500 apartments.
Oh, it wasn't like Daniel LaRusse's pool. No,
it was
like a real.
Yeah, thing. There was multiple pools there. And they would always know and kick us out. But one time we're coming back from the beach. And we walked by this apartment and there was fucking every kind of cop there. And it was crime taped and some shit had gone down. And then
in the pool or in the complex?
In the complex, in an apartment. We were just like cruising. And this is like one of these old school 80s apartments that we had here on the West Coast where there's like lots of like, they try to make it look, they try to make it look like the outdoors. So there's like lots of creeks running through there and fish swimming in ponds and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of isolated for people that live on top of each other. But so I remember, I'm like, oh, this chick got murdered. Then I read about it in the paper the next day that this was a couple that had just moved from, and they were a newlywed couple. They had just moved from somewhere else and they had moved in like a day or two before. And the husband had gone and started his new job that day. And while he was at work, somebody broke in and tied up his young bride and raped and murdered her. And it was like, wow, this is like fucking three blocks from my house. And then I forgot about it. And then, and this was like in 1986 or something. And then a couple years ago, I'm like, I popped into my head and I'm like, oh, the husband definitely killed her. Of course, it was the husband all along. And so
it buyer's remorse on that wedding.
Exactly. And so then I Googled and it turns out, no, it was like some random drifter. It was, but this was like 3 years ago, maybe like 5 years ago that I thought of it and I Googled it. And they had just caught the guy like the summer before. He was, they had actually caught him like a few weeks later because he attempted, raped, and murdered some other lady. and they threw him in jail in Michigan. And he had been in jail the whole time. And then through DNA, they just pinned the murder on him like 6 months before I thought of it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so just random.
Your ears were buzzing.
Yeah, exactly. I thought of it. So, yes. Yeah.
And I just remembered I have definitive proof of one murder.
Yeah.
Remember I got in a fight with the dad from basketball. And then a few years later, I saw him with a teardrop tattoo.
Yes.
So that's one.
That could be stolen valor, though.
So I got 35 to go. Yeah. I got to solve 35 murders.
Well, you've definitely shaken hands.
Definitely.
With murder. Yeah. And I mean, I know.
Well, I was at a work event and I not that I really wanted to. I shook hands with Bob Menendez.
Oh.
The dicey New Jersey senator.
Oh yeah. Well, like, he's had people gold killed.
Bullion. He's definitely had people killed.
Yeah, he's for sure had people killed. He's in the Senate. Of course he's had people killed.
Of course. That's two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
34 to go.
Yeah, you got more. I'm sure. Look, I'm from Costa Mesa. There's people in my high school that did. There was murders in high school. Like, I know there's people that did murders, but I can't name one specifically, but I'm sure there's people I know that have done murders.
Yeah.
Ed, what's up? Do you have, could you maybe send a bag of day old bagels to the West Coast?
Why? Of course, but why?
Because that's our asking price for LeBron James to the Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He's yours. He's all yours, buddy.
So on Saturday night, the Knicks, who are down three starters.
Yep.
And the Lakers pulled away with a few minutes to go.
That's right.
But the Knicks were winning most of the game. And they just doubled Jalen Brunson, which they should have done from the first quarter because that's their options.
Sure.
And LeBron is strutting his stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the garden. I just took care of business in the Mecca. It's like, buddy, it was Jalen Brunson and the Westchester Knicks. That's the minor league team.
That's right. Well, soon you're going to have LeBron James over there to help you make a title run. He's all yours, buddy. The price is one bag of day old bagels and you can have him.
Yeah. I just realized this is our Super Bowl preview. I'm Googling prop bets. We didn't do it. So I'm pulling it up as we're going through it.
Okay. So while you're doing that, you know how I'm doing the 75 hard thing?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, I didn't really think much of it. Like most things when I announced like in October or whatever, hey, I'm going to be doing this thing. And then some people jumped on it and then they're like, oh, January? They're like, there's 3 feet of snow on the ground here.
Yeah,
and
I'm gotta tweak it.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's not really my problem. So, but then today, I had to do my outdoor 45 and the most awful three-word phrase in the English language.
Oh, I know. You get super bitch when it's raining, right?
Came out of my mouth. It's raining outside. I just fucking went and walked. And it was raining hard. And it's almost better if it's raining hard. So it was raining hard. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, and I don't have like anything to protect. I don't own like rain-related garments. You know, like
I don't either. Yeah. I don't have a rain jacket or whatever, I don't mind the rain.
Yeah. So I was just going to embrace it. I'm like, I'll just go out there in a t-shirt and I'll get soaked and who cares. And then, but then it like kind of wasn't raining, which is kind of worse. So then I put on a sweatshirt and I went outside and then it started to like rain harder. And it was like a heavy mist the whole time. It was like inescapable. Zero stars. Do not recommend. This is fucking bullshit. But I did it, and it's an atmospheric river, I'm hearing, Ed. So that means it's going to rain for like the next 4 or 5 days. So I'm going to be I'm going to be out.
Thoughts in this. Prayers.
Yes, there's going to be water falling out of the sky. Awful. Okay, why don't you sprinkle in some?
We'll do it throughout the show.
Yeah, sprinkle in some prop bets throughout the show. But first, let's talk about some people who died. Just tell us who is dead now. Just tell us who is dead now.
a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died?
Who died? Who died? Tell me who died.
Ed, who died this week?
Big one. Big one. The great Carl Weathers, 76 years old, Apollo Creed, Action Jackson himself, yeah. Predator.
I mean, he was so jacked.
So jacked. Handsome, charisma.
Handsome. Had it all.
Great. Rocky, great movie. Great Man. Series of movies. Rocky doesn't work if Apollo Creed yep. even has B-plus charisma.
Yep. You couldn't do it alone. He had to have a foil.
To have his Muhammad Ali charisma kind of guy.
Yes.
And he got it.
He got it. And then they had to have a kind of a weird relationship after that where they did a lot of beach running. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was
possibly a few hand jobs.
Yeah. Yes. They dove into piles of sand together and stuff. It was, I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. And then also.
Oh, and also Chubbs.
He was amazing.
Happy Gilmore.
He was amazing. So Chubbs. Yeah.
How about Arrested Development where he just wants free food? He talks about you can make stew out of your chicken bones.
Because he was an ex-athlete that was fucking super jacked. But also, he was this charismatic. He was a great actor. He had the timing; like he could really do it. Like he was just that good. And look, in childhood, if there was a movie that Carl Weathers was in, that was something you were excited about as a kid because you knew some badass shit was going to be happening in that movie. Like he was just that kind of guy that just showed up for that kind of thing. So R.I.P.
Did we get? I know it's a different segment. Our buddy Angelo talked about maybe he wanted to weigh in.
Oh,
our boxing correspondent.
That's quite possible. Hold on. I don't know. Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll have to see. He may have weighed in. We do have some voice. Oh, yeah. I can see. Hey, Brian Angelo. Yeah, he's called.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this is a shocker.
Yeah.
Maybe the person, but not the. Business.
Yeah.
Amanda Davies, One Life to Live actress and daughter of soap legend Erica Slezak.
Yeah.
She was 42 years old. The cause of death not listed, but sudden. And
handful of
I
pills.
Believe Erica Slezak was the Vicky and Nikki.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's who she was.
She had kind of a crazy face.
She had crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yep. I actually remember her from One Life to Live because my mom used to watch One Life to Live.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. But
very sad.
The soap aside is.
Yeah. There's just so much soap opera death happening. It's out of control.
I get there are a lot of soap stars, but we didn't report soap deaths for consecutive. This is like 15 straight shows with a soap star.
There's been one every week since you were on your summer vacation. Like it's just been a steady soap cost every single week since the summer.
A woman named Cheetah Rivera, singer and actress, 91 years old. I feel like we heard about her, but I think she was like Broadway.
Did Elvis get her? I think Elvis might have gotten her.
Probably that's it.
R.I.P. But nice long run, 91.
Yeah, 91's a good run. Yeah. Guy named Aston, quote, family man Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
He was the bassist and band leader of Bob Marley and the Wailers, 77 years old. Kind of a clunky nickname.
Yeah.
Like, so they're like, hey, family man over here. Yeah.
I got to assume that was because he... Unlike the other Jamaicans that he was
didn't fuck everyone.
Yes, they're like, oh, look at this family man over here. He's got no pieces.
Hey, man, I'm gonna have sex with six women tonight.
I'm
married.
Oh,
family man.
Yes, look at this family man over here. But that bass line, I mean, that guy laid it down. The Wailers, so sick. Like, what a band, Bob Marley. Now I'm of two minds. I don't know if I want to see the Bob Marley biopic.
Well, so I see lots of movies.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
And no, it's not out yet, I don't think. Yeah. But I see lots of movies, and the trailer comes on before every movie I see. Yeah. So I'm like already sick of the trailer.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's probably decent.
Yeah.
I'll probably check it out. It's like, it's about the assassination attempt and like the year or two after, where he goes to London and he does like some of his famous stuff.
Yeah. They try to shoot him in his kitchen, through the window of his kitchen. He's like doing some dishes or something, and they fucking tried to pop him because he had a voice. Because he was,
but
he was,
if Family Man isn't people. Featured, I'm throwing shit in that theater.
He'll be there. He'll be there. Family Man will be there 100%.
And then we also Peter Tosh.
Yep.
And
Bunny Whaler, all the guys, right. All the boys.
And we lost Earl the Twirl Curran, two-time NBA champ, I believe, with the pissed bad boy Pistons, maybe.
Oh, 66 really?
Years old.
Yeah. The Twirl.
Earl the Twirl Curran. Because sweet? Earl the Pearl was already taken.
Yeah, yeah.
So they gave him the Twirl.
What about the Squirrel?
Now, there was there were lots of them, but he must not have, he was probably just good at pivoting. Yeah. But there was a small window, not nearly the same window as when I collected baseball cards.
Yeah.
But I collected basketball cards for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think every other pack had an Earl Curran.
Yeah. Oh, he was
like an 11 year. He was always like, he was in his 11th year and he was the 11th guy on the roster. And you were not excited to get a power forward backup.
No, it was like, he was a regular Frank Tanana or Pat Tabler. You know, you're like, who the fuck
is he? He was very Pat Tablerish.
Like, jeez, again with the Earl the Twirl?
Earl the Twirl? I got a couple props before we get into things.
Okay, hit me with the props.
Length of the national anthem. We got Reba McEntire doing it.
Yeah.
Over under is 90 and a half seconds.
That's pretty low. Because
she's got to be around 70, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's got that shock of red hair.
She doesn't have time. She's like a little spark plug.
Yeah.
I feel like she's going to be in and out.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they pre-record it, and she doesn't have the pipes that she used to. And I don't know that she was ever really known for having the big voice. I don't know a lot about
it. It's one thing if it's rodeo. If it's Aretha, you know, like even a year before death, Aretha, like she was known for drawing out like lines.
Yeah.
Reba.
Yeah.
She seems like, you know, like a little spark plug. I got to say under.
Under 90 seconds.
Oh, I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
She sang game 3 of the 97 World Series. I believe that was Marlins over the Indians.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe Table, Jose Mesa.
So this, think about it.
Levon Hernandez.
Joe Table.
Yeah.
Yeah, Levon Hernandez, who at the time was either 24 or 38.
He's had something happening there.
El Duque's brother.
How long did that go?
So, I mean, that is 25 and change years ago.
Yeah.
122.
What? Yeah. See, that's 122. She
sang it at 122. That's even seconds. Lower. And then she did the 2017 Celebrity Hope softball game. That's a made up thing. Celebrity Hope softball game.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
119.
Yeah, well, you're not, I mean, neither, well, the Celebrity Hope softball game, that's not the Super Bowl.
It's not the Super Bowl.
But
the World Series, and the World Series is not the Super Bowl. Nothing's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. No, I like the
We're under. Talking a quarter century ago, she was going under. I'm going to say the under.
Yeah, I like the under as well.
Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in speech? God, religious figure, teammates, coach, team or organization or family or fans?
Well, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to be his dad, because we'll get to that
later. We've got a story about him.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. And
if it is Kelsey would probably bring up his brother, no, even though everybody wants him to say Taylor.
Yeah, it ain't Kelsey, because it's always a quarterback. Unless it's
like two pick sixes or something like that, like a weird guy.
Yep. I'm going to say it's the fans, because Patrick Mahomes, like, he does everything.
He's already thanked everyone.
Yep. I like the fans.
Great fans of Kansas City. Okay. Well, I'll give you one more before we move to the next segment.
Okay, these are fun.
Usher's first song performed.
This is like if you ask
me. I know one song here.
If you said, Brian, you've lived in Orange County your whole life. This is a city in Orange County. Give me your phone. Drive to Whittier right now, and I'll give you $10 million. I could get to kind of the general area. I don't know where Whittier is. Similarly, I couldn't fucking name Usher Raymond. I actually know
two songs, and one of them isn't in the list of like 12 songs they give you.
What I know about Usher is that one chick sued him for giving off
the herpes.
Knowingly give, and I believe he cheated on Chili from
TLC.
Yes, Waterfalls people. So I don't know. I can't name a song. Unless he starts out with like a little Marvin Gaye Sexual Healing.
So the ones, well, I know two songs. Hold on.
Superstitious. I'm going to say Superstitious Stevie Wonder.
He's going to
start with that. Yep. Homage.
Okay, So the one song I remember when he broke onto the scene was You Make Me Wanna. Mm, 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 mm. I remember that song. That's not even on the list, so I guess he doesn't do that one.
Okay.
But then the famous one that was featured on Chappelle, with Lil Jon.
Yeah. Oh, I know Lil Jon. Yeah, I know the. That's a collab.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's, oh, I didn't know
they,
that.
If they do that, that's not going to be the first song.
No, I don't see him bringing out Lil Jon, because we're always excited. We're always hyped for these. For these guest appearances, and they never show up.
They never show up. But if they do, because, you know, we want some major A-list collaborations. Happens. That never happens. Lil Jon probably is waiting by the phone.
Oh, yes.
He's available. He'll make himself available.
Okay, let's talk some sports.
My way?
Yes.
OMG.
Oh, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I've heard that one. DJ Got Us Falling in Love. That's just a clunky. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah.
What's the chalk? What's
chalk? Chalk is something called My Way. I've never heard of that one.
My Way. Yeah, or The Highway. Look, this Usher is, this is a real disappointment.
Oh, here's one.
In terms of an act.
Plus 3,500, I give out the herpes. I don't know. That's weird.
I would like to get down on that. That's a value pick, Ed.
Yeah,
like,
it's value.
Just throw $100 on
it. He wants to live his truth. That's fine. Yes,
he did that. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
First story is just crowbarred in there for deeply personal reasons. Yeah. The Orioles have been sold to a group led by private equity billionaire David Rubenstein for $1.75 billion. And to just show how bleak things are, I and most Oriole accounts that I followed are like super excited. Private equity guys are the worst. They're like Gordon Gekko. They just gut things and They strip things for parts, and it's like, well, it's got to be better than Angelos. Like, Kim Jong-un would be better than Angelos. Because the dad was a piece of shit, but then the son took over when dad got dementia. And
Peter Angelos got dementia? There's a Peter Angelos II?
There's a John Angelos. But the stipulation on the sale is like, okay, the guy will buy it, and he'll control the team. But the sale, the full sale won't go through until dad dies. But he's 95 and hasn't been part of things in like 7 years. The son took over the team, and they were middle of the pack spending team. They immediately went to bottom two or three every year since then. And have never, haven't given out a multi-year deal in 7 years. Everybody's on one-year deals, like just the worst.
Well, it's nice to see. Here's the thing. You want somebody with deep pockets to own the team.
Right.
But
private equity need that trouble.
Well, of course they are. But anybody that's got enough money to own a sports franchise is probably a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, billionaires are problematic. Yeah. It's just the son of a billionaire is worse than a private equity guy.
Exactly. So just hopefully, because look, that's Steve Cohen. He's got all the money in the world, and he bought the Mets, and the Mets were a bottom feeder last year. They just didn't do it the right way. You got to get, see, in LA, they got this guy, Andrew Friedman, and he was a Wall Street guy. And he was like, hey, he goes, I know how to exploit market inefficiencies. And so he went to Tampa. And this guy, Jonah Carey, wrote a book about him. Now, Jonah, we can't talk about Jonah Carey anymore.
Jonah Carey tuned up his wife.
He's tuned. Brutally. He's a very bad guy. But he knew a lot about baseball. And he wrote a book about this guy, Andrew Friedman, and how he applied his Wall Street analytics to the game of baseball. Now he does that with the Dodgers. And they're perennially one of the best teams in baseball because he applies that formula where they only make investments on the right guys. The rest of the time, they're looking for undervalued assets, and they're assembling these undervalued assets and turning them into things that help them win. You can't just go out and buy everybody. You got to buy a couple guys, and you got to develop some guys, and you got to find some guys that no one else realizes is a guy. That's the move.
Well, the thing right now is the Orioles are like all young guys and they won 101 games last year. So the thought was, Jesus, they better win in the next 2 years because they're not going to retain anybody. So hopefully now they'll actually retain a couple guys.
I believe they have a top farm system, the Orioles, too.
Top farm system. Yes. And then right after the sale of the team, they traded for Corbin Burnes with some of those prospects. Like, for the first time in forever, they actually, things are looking up, although there's a private equity piece of shit.
Gorgeous, gorgeous uniforms, too. Maybe the best.
Major beautiful. Race.
Happy
for Neymar hits back at online weight criticism in a social media post. I believe he's like out for the year, and people are saying he's looking a little dumpy.
Wait, is this the guy that also had a deal with his wife?
Sex contract.
Yeah,
we reported that contract is now over.
Yeah, he could have side pieces as long as he wrapped it up and didn't kiss him.
No kissing on the mouth, but more importantly, wrap that rascal, which he didn't. He didn't comply, probably.
And now he's fat. This seems to happen. You know, this is why you don't spend big money on these guys, is because they get complacent. And you know,
there's the hunger. He comes from nothing, from Brazil. The poor streets. Yeah. And he's been making a lot of money for a while now. I just read he turned 32 today. He's not some whippersnapper who hasn't been around money.
Yep. They're not all messy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the end of Neymar.
Yeah. And the contract, he's probably already getting cleaned out financially from the wife. Yeah, but
exactly.
Luckily, he has all the money. So.
I bet he could get a Saudi bag. Like,
I think he's got, Ronaldo. I think he's in the Saudi league now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, he's good. He's set.
He's fine.
No problem.
A stolen Jackie Robinson statue found dismantled and burned inside a Kansas park.
Yeah.
We're still fighting that fight. Yeah. Like, the Jackie Robinson thing has kind of been settled at this point, right?
Yeah. I, What relevance does he? They just wanted to celebrate him.
Like, goddamn it! I can't believe he broke the color barrier. Like, you know that. No, like that happened a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, shit changed real quick. Shane Gillis has an amazing joke about the moment everything changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, like vandalize his statue or whatever, Kansas. You know, it's kind of embarrassing for you, right? And also, what's up with your buddy Kennard sending me bullshit lies in his emails? Okay, that's
the water cooler.
Yeah, stop fucking around with the statues and get to the bottom of this Kennard thing. Like, let's all get together and figure it out. Get out of the fucking cornfields and go figure out what this Kennard guy, who the fuck this Kennard in Kansas is.
A Long Island man who posed as NFL general counsel Jeff Tash got 12 years for a medical billing scheme to defraud insurance companies by hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I'm of two minds in this one.
Yeah.
Look, fuck the NFL and all their people.
Yeah.
At the same time, are we really that sad for insurance companies being taken for a ride? Yeah. Turn on the commercials of every sporting event in history. It's all insurance. Everything's insurance. Farmers, Flo from Progressive, Allstate, Mayhem, the dude, the funny guy. I actually like that guy who talks about we're turning into our parents.
Oh, those are good commercials.
Like he's a good actor. But still, everything's fucking insurance.
Yeah. No.
The media buys. Yeah. It's that and the Jesus ones. Oh, he gets us. He gets us because he doesn't have to pay taxes on shit, and that's why he can buy Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, did we get to the bottom of that? What's the deal with the he gets us guys?
They just have too much money. They don't pay. Yeah. They don't pay taxes.
I know, that's bullshit. Fuck that.
But like, you know, I don't want some random Long Island guy with hundreds of millions of dollars that's not his. That being said, fuck the insurance companies. No, we all pay them too much.
And also, it's kind of badass when you impersonate somebody random like the NFL
general counsel. Jeff Pash.
Yeah, hey, like prove that I'm not Jeff Pash. And everybody's like, who the fuck's Jeff Pash? And he's like, it's me. I need these medical machines. Cut me a check.
Drinks on the house. For it is I, Jeff Pash.
Yes, the Jeff Pash.
Cool.
Here's my ACH info. Get it. Send it over straight away. I need it.
I don't know why he keeps introducing himself as Jeff Pash and not just Jeff, but sure.
Look alive. Jeff Pash is on the phone.
Look busy. Yeah. Finally, in sports, Patrick Mahomes Sr. was arrested for DWI for at least the third time, and his mugshot. Makes it look like maybe he played before the color barrier was broken.
Yeah, I mean, it is
Jackie Robinson era. He looks old.
First of all, how does Patrick Mahomes have a 53-year-old dad? First of all, that's kind of crazy. But then you look at his dad, and his dad looks like he's 75 years old.
Like, he gets the old soul moniker.
He kind of looks like he could be living down in Hamsterdam on the wire. Like he could be like he's hanging out with Bubs, like stealing copper. Apparently from the building sites.
Open container of Coors, I assume banquet beer.
That's not an arrestable.
I read another article that said he had an open container of Coors.
Yeah, if it's Coors, let him go.
Yeah, banquet beer.
Yeah.
But again, Patrick Mahomes, he really says and does the right things as an NFL player. He really does. He never really acts like a piece of shit.
No.
But everyone in his orbit, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I know like the hatred of the us being jammed by the Taylor Swift stuff, but like, I'm not a fan in that, like, I don't get her appeal, but like, she's a super famous person who's dating a famous person on their team. And it like kind of makes sense. And I feel like she's taking the attention away from how awful everyone in Patrick Mahomes's universe is.
Yeah, it's true. It's, I mean,
wife, brother, mom, dad, everyone's like really annoying. Everyone's terrible.
His dad is so skinny. I mean, and he's got this backwards hat on. He really looks like a crackhead from The Wire. And that's just That's the look he's got. He's very gaunt. Got that big earring going. Like, looks like he could be working a corner here. Like, this guy needs some help. Let's get off. I mean, shouldn't be illegal to drive.
He really does look like central casting of Hamsterdam in this picture.
He really does. He really does. And how can this guy be 53? That's 4 years older than me.
Yeah, it's a tough look. Got a couple more props for you.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put, read me a prop while I put Patrick Mahomes Sr. on the list of old looking young guys.
What will the outcome be of the coin toss? There's
a
rhyme.
It's tails never fails. You always take tails. Although, did I read somewhere that heads actually comes up like 50.5% of the time and they think it could because of the weight of the head? Is that, or did I just make that up?
That seems like something that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
no, it's equal. Yeah. I mean, it's probability theory. Each flip of the coin has the exact chance of being either one, no matter how many times you flip the coin. And look, you could pick heads, but what if somebody heard you? What if you're like, hey, I pick heads. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, how come nobody looks me in the eyes anymore? What happened? All I did was pick heads. Cause you know what? It's embarrassing to pick heads. You always pick tails. You know why? Cause it never fails.
Yes. There's not a front rhyme.
Yes. Always tails.
Will there be, back to the anthem, will there be a forgotten word?
No, because they pre-record it.
Plus 900, yes. Minus 3,000, no. And also Reba, she's a pro.
Yeah, she's from Oklahoma. She used to ride barrel racing in the rodeo. She loves America, obviously. She's got that, her hair is the color of the flag, the red part. Like, this is an American icon, Reba McEntire. They are really scraping the barrel these days, though. The halftime show used to be Prince. Now it's right. Usher. It was Tom Petty. You know, the Stones, right? Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, 50, M, all those dudes.
Who was last year?
It was Rihanna.
Oh, with that pregnant. The thing that made me nervous when she was on the platform.
Yeah, she was pregnant. I would never do that. She almost Owen Harted herself up there.
Will there be a score in the first minute? These are like heavy odds. No is minus 3,000. Yes, plus 900.
Zero chance. You know, the Super Bowl always starts out slow as fuck and boring. There might be the first quarter. Like if you got 3-0 in your squares pool,
or double zeros.
Yeah, or double zeros, you're looking good. The Super Bowl starts slow, and especially because look, you know they're probably gonna saturate the field again. They want to slow things down. Just like they did last year. So
right,
because slow down Christian McCaffrey.
I was gonna say Patrick Mahomes wants McCaffrey slowed down.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco is injured. He doesn't want fast.
Exactly. Exactly. He wants to hit his tight end over the middle so he can get more shots at Taylor Swift.
Right.
So I'm going to say, take the under. Okay. Let's talk some non-sports. Wait, let's do some emails, voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia.
Okay, couple voicemails this week.
Gentlemen, long time no
talk.
I was very pleased to hear Dorb call in this past week.
Dorb in the OC.
Glad to see he's doing 75 Horde. I did not partake, but I'm glad he's sticking with it.
Complaining about it literally every day.
Threatening to quit, right?
Every day. Hey, you want to meet at the bar? We could just stop 34 days. That's plenty. Every single day complaining about it more and more every day.
He needs a little motivation though, Bri. You might want to play him Brad's song just to help, you know, keep him motivated and keep him going towards 75.
Just be mean to you?
It's a banger. And I know it'll motivate some guys. So if you could play that, I'd appreciate it.
I mean, it's a good song.
It's good. It's very mean.
Very hurtful. It's the 75 hard challenge. I do like, and he did call me and he's like, hey, can you record? Can you just send me a clip of you saying like something about 75 hard?
I just want to shit on you, but I need your help.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can record it. Yeah. Hold on. And then I just like did like a few, I gave him a few choices and that's the one he used. I mean, this bass line, come on.
It is great.
Throw this at the fucking halftime. This is better than Usher.
Ryan's looking in the mirror, got that fat face.
Come on.
Pull up his shirt.
Wow.
Realizes he got that fat
waist.
It ain't his fault he got caught up in that rat.
It's true.
Sitting around and now he's gotta get up out of that place. So he proposes a challenge to all that's listening.
Come on. It builds too.
Get up and just get a little fitness in. So he don't have to be that chubby dad with a heart attack, midlife crisis, tub of shit, out of shape, and all of that. 5 hard days. It's 75.
Come on, baby.
Hard.
Here we go.
It's 75 hard days.
You got to get to this part.
Hard and it five, 75 hard days.
Woo!
75 hard.
That's what's up. Okay, you happy, LSU? Son of a bitch. Here's another one.
Hey, ballers. It's Drew in Phoenix.
Drew in Phoenix.
Hey, Drew.
So, as you know, if you watch Brian's Instagram stories, We have a society full of monsters.
That's right.
Those are wrong way walkers, people who walk on the wrong side of the sidewalk.
That's right.
In the opposite direction of our right to less society that we live in.
Let me just,
Can I add to this?
Yeah, tell me.
Other monsters, these stand in the left side next to their friend on an escalator.
Oh, yeah, you can't walk past them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stand to the right, you walk on the left, you
fuckface. Of course. Same with that thing at the airport, the flat escalator.
Yes, same thing, the flat escalator.
Yeah,
stand to the right if you just want to stand.
And along part of what Drew and Phoenix is referencing, this is what I say: it works like the road. So you drive to the right and you pass on the left, and that's just how it works. And what he's talking about is the other day I was walking, because here's what I do usually: I walk on this trail, and a lot of people go on this trail, and at least one or two people every single time I'm out on the trail is walking on the wrong side of the road. And what I do is I double down. Usually I play dumb and I just kind of like look down and
you play chicken like Chris Penn on the tractor in Footloose.
Exactly. Yes, exactly like that. And 100 times out of 100, they go around me. They realize the error in their way. Although sometimes people will like walk onto the dirt. Well, yes, they'll go around me, but they'll go around me to the wrong side. They'll like walk up on a little hill area when there's plenty of open space for them to walk. But the other day, this is a story he's referencing it. The other day I'm walking. And I know you know about this because you're a guy. You ride your bike now, but in the past, you've done fitness races.
Sure.
You're a runner. And you see this a lot when you see people out running. Oftentimes they'll be wearing a shirt from like a race they ran, because it's like, they want you to know, they're like, oh, by the way, not the first time I ran. I'm out here running, but as you can see, I have run previous times based on the garment that I'm wearing. The garment I'm wearing right here says ran 2017 Huntington Beach 5K. It's like, okay, wow. Gives a fuck. But
yeah.
So I'm walking.
Read all about it on whogivesashit.com.
Exactly. I'm walking and I'm at the right and I see this couple coming towards me. And look, the wife is in distress. She's overexerted herself.
This is a running couple.
Yes, it's a running couple. And the wife's in distress.
Struggle with that one.
Look, couples that exercise together, I got an issue with that. I agree with Ed.
They probably would fit into the first thing I talked about, murders.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Someone's going to kill someone.
They're a real Todd and Margot couple. You know, they put on the show, but they really hate each other's guts.
They hate their guts.
Yeah. So they're walking, and I look, and she looks like she's about to puke. Again, my fucking problem. Have her go puke over there on her right. She's walking to her left. You don't puke on the left. You puke on the right where you walk. So I'm walking and I do my thing where I pretend not to see him, but they double down and she's on the outside and he's on the inside and he's got her like leaning in to him. So it's a 2-on-1 situation, Ed. And like a bitch. And I regret it to this day. And I wish Drew hadn't brought it up, because I'm flashing back to it like a bitch. Instead of making a big stink about it and really like pushing him off to the left, like I should have, I went around him. I walked around him because it worked on me. She was in distress. So I let it happen and I'm embarrassed of that.
But this is more you being a gentleman.
That's right. But I shouldn't.
Right? They fucked up, but you were just like, well, she already hates her husband and probably is going to kill him, but I'll give her a day.
Yeah. Look. With any luck, she succumbed out there on the trail after I had to go around them. But
right.
Guys, learn what side of the street to walk on. You it's like the road. You go to the right. Everybody knows this, except nobody knows this, which is crazy.
Monsters.
Here's Drew again.
But I just noticed, and I've always noticed, that Walmart, of all stores, always has you enter on the left.
Oh.
And says, do not enter on the right. And I think that this contributes to our problem. And it's just something I just noticed. What? Sorry if you hear me get in the back. And I think that, Walmart is complicit in this culture issue we're having.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
I'll be honest. Ed, we know you've never entered a Walmart.
Never been.
Yeah.
There's just not one around me. It's not like I'm principled like crazy. Like, I've been to Target a million times.
They're bad people.
They absolutely are, but they're from Little Rock. Who knows?
Yeah. There's a Walmart right a spitting distance from my home. And I had never been there until this Christmas time, where I went and bought them out of all their pink lights, because I did my house up beautifully with tons of pink lights. But I'll say this. I entered only through the garden, because that's where the lights were. So I went in the garden side, not the regular entrance. So I don't know. How are they going to have you come in on the left walking in the front door? That's impossible.
Now, I haven't been to Walmart, but I've been to a couple places where they have that backwards entrance. And you want to strangle someone.
So confusing.
There's a liquor store near my sister's that has that. And it makes me angry every time.
This is in Colorado?
No, in like about an hour south of here. But like when I show up.
Yeah.
It's usually my stop before there, because I'm like, well, I'm going to have a few pops with my brother-in-law. And so I always have to go in there. And every time it gets me, I'm like, what? I'm going to the left?
Confusing. No.
Horrible.
Confusing. Bullshit. Let's figure it out. There's rules to this, people. We're part of, just like we are made up of many tiny cells all working together, right? We're not a thing. We're many trillions of things all conglomerated to look like one bigger thing. Think of that as you're traveling throughout the world. You're not you, you're part of us. So act like it. Act like you're part of us. Stop being
you.
We're
all on one team.
That's right. The golden rule. Right. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed, what's up? Dave in Salt Lake.
Dave in Salt Lake.
Hey, Dave.
Mark.
Great guy.
Listening to the newest episode. But anyway, you know, fuck this guy. Like Brian said, it was clearly the same dude who January 9th? Oh. That sent these in.
Oh, this is, he's talking about the negative reviews.
Oh, yeah. They're clearly yeah. Michigan fans, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see what David Bray has to say.
I got a couple suspects.
Oh.
I was thinking maybe.
Like this.
I would hope not Mark the Nomad no. because, you know, I buried the hatchet with him
yep.
a long time no. ago.
And so did Ed. Ed and Mark the Nomad long had beef.
Obviously, Mark and I don't agree on Michigan, but no. he privately admitted to me that Connor Stallions was a dipshit. And like,
whoa, is he giving you permission to share this information, Ed? Are you?
No, I think it was not even in a DM. It just, oh, okay. I made a, you know, a comment on it. He said, yeah, he's a dipshit, but yeah. I don't like his team and whatever, mm. but like, that's, I think he's smart enough to not be doing that bullshit. Like, okay. I said when I criticized Michigan, yes, they were cheating. Yeah. But if I were a Michigan fan, much like the many Astros fans that are in our audience,
yeah.
who gives a shit from your perspective?
Yeah.
You don't want to give back a title or whatever, but like you have to understand the rest of the world hates you.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
I can say unequivocally that there is no chance at all that Mark the Nomad posted a negative review of this show.
I agree.
He's a friend to the show. He gave us our first microphones and board.
He's been a guest.
He's been a guest many times. He's filled in for Ed.
Yeah. Mark's a good dude. He likes a team I don't like, but he's a good dude. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I sat down it might have been last weekend. And I watched the Patrick Swayze fever dream movie Roadhouse that I reviewed here on this podcast with the great Mark the Nomad.
They're remaking it soon, right?
It's out. I don't know if it's out, but it looks so bad with Gyllenhaal, and he's an MMA.
Might have to watch that one for the show.
Yeah, I mean, it looks I revisited the original Roadhouse, and it's. It plays like satire.
Yeah. It's not cool. It's comedy. It's comedy.
It's insane. It's insane that it was considered
a cool,
straightforward movie because it's so fucking ridiculous. But that said, back to Mark the Nomad. That was a landmark moment in the show that we did that. And he's a great friend of the show, and he would never do anything like that. He's got the backline number. He's a buddy of ours, and his reputation is above reproach. Albeit, look, he's a little heavy duty with the Michigan stuff, but that's his thing. The man has a lot of fucking children, so he needs something. So good for him.
And congrats to him on the Lions. It was a great season. Yes,
great season. It's a
disappointing end, but great season. Sure.
We love Dan Campbell here.
But fuck Michigan.
Yeah, the future's bright. Great helmets, but yeah, fuck Michigan. Fuck the big house. Fuck the maize and blue. You know, fuck. The only good thing about Michigan is that Iggy Pop went there. You know, that's what you got. Jim Osterberg. That's your thing. That's the one thing you can have, okay?
He takes his Michigan football very, very seriously.
That's true.
So
that is true.
I hope it's not him.
It isn't.
And I was thinking Manuel in Gardenia.
Again,
no.
And look.
There's zero chance he was able to set up two accounts and change the names.
I mean, posting a review?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
This is a real fantasy voicemail by you, David. You're smarter than this.
This is the Roadhouse of voicemails because he's... He's playing it straight, but this is obviously satire because he just alleged that Manuel was
no way Manuel did this.
Come on. David, son of a gun.
I don't know if he has the technical skills.
Yeah, right.
Look,
you got an issue with your P trap?
Oh, yeah.
Manuel's your guy, 100%. You know, hey.
Sure, he does a hell of a job.
You want somebody to dial 949-464 TBLS and tell you about fucking BMWs changing lanes,
mini bikes, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, exactly.
He's your guy.
Home, the unhoused. Like, yes, 100%. But leaving a review, come on. He's never even listened to the show.
Or like, downloading in off hours in late night.
No. He's working nights. He's like, he wouldn't know what Ed's talked about on the show because he's not a listener.
Nah.
I like that, though, Gardenia.
Email names or whatever. So yeah. I don't know who else that could possibly be, you know. Probably somebody that doesn't call in. As far as sexual positions, my favorite is the spoon position because.
But he's packing.
Yeah, he's 6'8". He's got a big ass dick. Of course, he loves to fucking spoon. Let's hear why, though. I'm interested to hear that. My penis is not long enough.
No.
I get maximum penetration that way.
Son of a bitch.
It's great. You know, you can hear the slapping of the ass.
Oh, come on.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's going in and out. Yeah. And honestly, I'm not joking. That really is my favorite. Oh. That's where I get the most pleasure.
You do.
I absolutely love it.
Spoon.
She doesn't, but anyway.
She doesn't.
That's a lot for me right there, guys.
No,
it's a race to the finish, and she lost, I guess.
Yeah, Bray. Oh, well, hold on.
It's a two-way street, buddy.
Isn't Spoon, it's technically just dorsal ventral, a.k.a. doggy style, but you're on your side.
But you're on the hip.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather be in full, well, I mean, he's very tall, so that could be an issue. He would have to get some phone books on the bed, so that could be the problem.
It's tall, and I'm not. I even if he's in fighting shape, yeah. That's a lot to take on top.
Yeah. Sometimes things don't line up, so that we could have answered our own question there. Yeah, where he's like, hey, how about like this? Because. You know, she's got to go half like on her feet, half on her knees. So they just go sideways. That makes sense.
All right, we need to find out who this asshole is.
Yeah.
Talking shit in the 1-star reviews.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Love you. All right. Take care.
I love you too, buddy. Hey, 1-star review pussies. Say it to my fucking face. 949-464-8257. I'll play that shit. I don't give a fuck. You come in here with your broken English saying we don't know about sports. Guess what? I don't know about sports. Go fuck yourself. Call me. 949-464-TBLS. Okay, one more. I believe this is Angelo, the boxing correspondent.
Hey, Brian, Ed, Angelo, Katie,
your Angelo. Boxing
correspondent. Yeah, it's been a tough week in the boxing community. We lost an absolute legend. This week, and of course, I'm talking about the Dancing Destroyer, the King of Sting, the Count of Monte Cristo.
That's my favorite nickname of all.
It's great.
The Master of Disaster. Of course, the one and only Apollo Creed, former heavyweight champion. What a career this guy had. I mean, you know, you go into that Rocky fight, that first Rocky fight, the guy's 46-0 with 46 knockouts. Yeah. The guy, he just moves with grace and elegance.
That's a real Mike Tyson's punch out record. 46-0, all 46 knockouts.
Right.
I mean, look, there's some tomato cans along the way, obviously, but still impressive.
But usually in those early days, when they're just fighting 8 rounds or something like 6 rounds, those early fights, there's someone who can hang on.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody can ride it out 100%.
Some Jerry Cooney guy who can get knocked down 6 times but keep getting up.
Oh yeah, there's guys that's they just make their living being the opponent. You know, these guys have been an opponent their whole career. They know how to take a punch and stand in there and get their paycheck. So props to Apollo Creed for amassing that undefeated record.
And you know, obviously he's got the punch to back it up. With all of his wins coming by way of knockout.
That's right.
Just an unbelievable boxer, puncher, just the perfect combination. You know, you look back and you think, you know, Mack Lee Green, the number one contender, hurting his hand following that fight, which set up the Balboa fight. I mean, it changed not only the path of his career, but of his life.
That's true.
You know,
it ended much sooner.
He faces Green, he probably beats him because, you know, he takes it more serious. you know, Club of Lang is coming up, you know, and there's no doubt that, that Creed beats Clubber like easily because Club of Lang never threw straight punches, only threw wide hooks only. That's the only punches he threw. And he saw just a little bit of head movement, a little bit of footwork, and
it's over.
It was way too much.
The problem.
Yep, tell me.
The problem with Rocky going into that Clubber fight, remember his eye, doctors were already telling him not to fight because he couldn't see the hooks coming in.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Apollo was A-OK there.
And Adrian was a real bummer about it. Like, just so much whining. You know, you can't win.
Mickey, they were has-beens and never, what is it? Oh, shit, they'll never will-bes or something. And he was like, they was bums.
Yeah, exactly. But Rocky showed them.
Lang to handle. I mean, he goes down probably as the best to ever do it. The only flaw that the guy had was his ego.
That's right.
Which
that happens.
Him, you know, getting into wars with Balboa and also going Chris Jenner with his kid, naming his kid Alex Artemis, and of course, future champion Adonis Creed.
Yeah, that's a problem.
What a great fighter in and out of the ring. Worked with the special needs. You know, you remember that race that he let that special needs literate grown man win that race.
That's right.
On the beach. I mean, the guy was you know, he was a winner inside the ring and outside the ring. You know, so we will never forget the great Apollo Creed.
That's right.
Gone way too soon.
Absolutely.
Also,
well done.
Yeah,
Brian.
That was a beautiful. Let's just touching. Let that sink in. That was just a beautiful eulogy.
Thank you, Angelo.
Yes, very, very poignant, beautifully spoken. Thank you for that, Angelo. He's got more, though.
All right, and I can't remember who said it, but you guys, a couple weeks ago, were talking about Richard Simmons, and, you know, my wife heard it, and she thought that you guys were pretty disrespectful saying that he wore leg warmers, and she noted that a great coxman like him would only wear women's slouch socks.
That's true. You know what? Angelo, you're right. And as I was saying that, I knew that I was misspeaking, but I didn't know the name for those things that he wore with his Reebok dance shoes.
Like, right. And I knew too, but yeah. I couldn't correct you because I didn't know what it was called.
I knew leg warmers wasn't the right terminology, right. But I knew that it would draw the right picture because it looked very similar.
Now, but it wasn't Jane Fonda exercise, but it was similar, and we knew what I just couldn't correct you with it.
Of course.
All right, guys. That's it. I'll talk to y'all later. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for that,
Angelo. Thank you, Angelo.
Beautiful tribute. Thank you. Okay, a couple emails. Is it just me or did Ed sound like Michael Rapaport when responding to Brian's introduction at the beginning of last week's show? Also, I can be your fertilization correspondent. Oh, that's from Disc. I doubt you sounded. I don't have it queued up. I probably should have done that.
He's like a New Yorker in Overdrive. I don't believe I ever sound like that.
He's always spitting.
You know who talks. You know who's going way too New York, like leaning in and the voice is getting way too New York? Natasha Lyonne.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She now sounds like a caricature of a New Yorker from the 1940s.
Yeah. No.
It's crazy. And I've worked up with her, you know.
Oh, have you?
Remember? Short film about 20 years ago. Mm. I worked on something with her and Rob Hubel.
Oh, uh-huh.
She was going through some stuff.
Oh yeah, she was on crack. She's a crackhead.
She was having some issues, and I spent the day with Rob Hubel, or I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it is.
Wonderful guy. He was delightful. Natasha was going through some stuff.
Yeah,
and I spent the day with both of them. One of them I had a great time with. One of them, I'm glad she got the help she needed, but now she's going full New York from the 40s voice.
Was she disappearing a lot?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Very tired at times.
Snapped lips. Less tired at other times.
And energetic other times.
Yeah. I believe she's
cat naps.
Yeah.
Yeah. At certain times, but yeah, it was eye opening. It was, it was more than 20. Oh, you know what? It was. It was like right before I started on Wall Street, and
it was for the New York Comedy Film Festival. I got hooked up with somebody, and they're like, if you want to check out work in the comedy world, you can work on this movie. And I worked on this short film for a day.
Yeah.
And the award show was going to be September 11th. And
2001?
Yeah. And
that was a Tuesday, I recall. Is there anything else I should remember about that day?
That was also the day I got offered the job on Wall Street. So I was done with
UBS,
that universe. But yeah, it was like, all right, I guess I'm never going to be a part of this comedy world. But yeah, I spent the day with Natasha Lyonne probably in like late August of that year or mid August of that year.
I'm glad she's better.
But
I'm also glad you got the day when she was on crack. Mm-hmm. I can be your fertilization correspondent. Yeah, because Disc has way too many kids. And Disc, Dave and San Clemente, of course, thought you were doing 75 Hard, buddy. Got pretty quiet when 75 Hard kicked off. And look, I'm not trying to shame
him. He's got lots of kids.
Yeah, he's got so many kids. Maybe he's got too many kids. You remember Dave and San Clemente, Ed. He's got all those kids, and then he works with his father-in-law, and then his wife's like, hey,
was he the guy with the horse?
He had the horse guy in his office.
One of my favorite sound bites ever.
Yes, that was the best. Okay, thank you for that. Just here's another one. Guys, I'll tell you what's going on here. Her son plays select baseball. Oh, this is about Alyssa Milano. Darby in the OC was crying some big salty tears about this because he said, and I listened back and I didn't hear it. He said he wanted how fucking rich is this guy, Alyssa Milano? So we'll get to that. But this, because he asked last week, because Alyssa Milano, if you didn't listen, a little recap, she posted a tweet of a GoFundMe for her kids' baseball trip to Cooperstown. And this is what Matthew is explaining here. Her son plays select baseball. This was supposed to be a level above rec ball little league, but it's turned into a huge money-making business. I could go on and on, but I'm sure you're not interested. My son plays 14U AAA major select ball in Houston. So one of the cool things, but for the kids only, these kids can do is go to a World Series. This is a week-long event, normally held in a cool location, like you guys discussed, Cooperstown. So my kid has been to Destin or Myrtle Beach or Gulf Shores. The kids get to go and exchange pins, play multiple games, hang out. For the adults, it's expensive, but you have to take time off work. You have to hang out with the other parents. Oh, hard pass. Who are mostly insufferable. But you do it for your kids. So she was trying to raise money to cover the costs of the whole team going wherever it was they were going. We have been on teams that fundraise and such to help cover the costs. But what she was too dumb or tone deaf to realize is she drives a $400,000 Porsche and is worth God knows how many millions. And she's asking everyday schlubs to cover a sum that amounts to her what $20 amounts to the rest of us. Anyway, just more lack of self-awareness from rich, stupid people. She deserves to get roasted for this and many other things. Not for those titties. P.S. You guys are missing the boat on shitting on the road.
What?
The pro move. I can't remember talking. I think this kind of rings a bell. The pro move is to walk into a nice hotel like you own the place, go to the bathroom in their lobby, drop anchor, and walk out. The bathroom is always pristine and no one ever uses it. Take it from a guy that lives on the road. If you don't have access to a Buc-ee's, oh, I've heard great things about the Buc-ee's restrooms. That's the next best option. I can be your shitting anywhere other than your home expert of record. Okay. He's done it a lot. Any port in a storm, fellas. That's from our good friend Matthew Richards.
Matthew, you're correct. There's a W in Hoboken.
Oh, yeah. Great hotel.
And I've had few Code Browns over the years.
You walk right in there and you're white as fuck. So they're like, no problem. Come in, Mr. White Man.
That's right.
Yes.
Mr. White Man. Why would we presume you're up to no good?
Yes.
And that lobby bathroom is pristine.
No, it's here's the issue, and I'm not. And of course, he's right. The problem is, if you're going to a hotel, especially if you're on the road, a lot of times you got to pull in and park. You got to get a ticket. You got to park in a structure. Like a lot of times, time is of the essence in these situations. That's all I'll say. You know, yeah. Look, you got a few minutes to think about it. Of course, you find a nice location, but sometimes, you know, you got things to do. Okay. Oh, the one thing I wanted to mention last week too that I forgot. Alyssa Milano, while yeah, she's getting residual. She was on that Charm show. She was on Who's the Boss.
I bet she's getting way more from Charm than Who's the Boss.
Yes, she's fine as hell. Like she's got yeah. other income streams, but
and she's been with rich guys.
That's what I was gonna say. She's married to like one of the biggest agents in Hollywood.
And didn't she used to be married to a major league pitcher?
No, but
she, or at least she was.
Are you talking about Brad him. Penny? Yeah, she was.
No. Multiple.
Barry Zito. She was with Barry Zito.
And there's somebody else who pitched for the Yankees. And
was it the guy that flew into the Corey Lytle? No. Corey Lytle. The first one that came to mind. Was it El Duque, Orlando El Duque Hernandez? She loved ball players. She really made the rounds. I believe Paul LaDuca got a piece. She was very popular in the Dodgers clubhouse. No, I mean, no disrespect, but I think she's only had the one marriage, and that's to the
Carl Pavano.
Oh, from the Yankees. Yeah. I remember old Carl Pavano.
Yeah.
I think he might have won Mary a Cy Zito, Young.
And, yeah. But she was always with rich guys.
She loved
it. So she hasn't been bled dry by some. That is, she's got to be worth. I don't know.
That's another thing, Ed, because she was having sex with so many ball players for a while, she had her own like women's wear line with MLB.com.
Right.
Okay. Hold on. I like to use the same. Okay. Here we go. Celebrity net worth. That's who we like to go. Okay. Hold on. First of all, let's find the actual song and let's do this right.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, Alyssa Milano, born December 19, 1972. Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, 5'1", and really just one of the all-time great pieces of ass, in my opinion. She could be top 10. She just was that good, just really of a time for people our age. How rich is this fucking guy?
She's worth 20.
I think that's a good number, 20 million.
Like she hasn't been in like crazy movies and stuff, but she's been famous forever. And like that major league thing maybe bumps it to 30.
Yeah. So this celebrity net worth is fucking her over badly right now because they're saying she's worth $4 million.
What?
If she bought a house in the Valley in Sherman Oaks 20 years ago, that house is worth $6 million. Like she's got $4 million in her couch cushions. Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit.
I was at a bar over the Christmas break.
Oh, tell me about that.
And it was like getting ready for whether it was a basketball game, something on the TV they turned to.
Yeah.
And Charmed was on. And the bartender said, Charmed is on every time I turn on this network, and it's not, like, I guess it's TNT or something.
Yeah.
And so he's like, anytime I turn on a basketball game and it's not the basketball game, it's always Charmed.
Of course.
Like, that's, I've never seen an episode, but it's clearly still in rotation.
Of course. She's a big star. And now look, who's her husband? Let's look this guy up. Oh, her husband is David Buglieri, partner at CAA.
Oh, that's kind of a high-paying job.
Here, let me ask you if you've heard of any of his clients. Bradley Cooper, Vince Vaughn,
jeez.
Shailene Woodley, Casey Affleck, Halle Berry. You think this guy's got a couple of nickels to rub together to get the fucking team? And also, Matthew Richards' point about this, they're raising money to get the whole team there. It's not like the Milanos got to foot the bill for the whole team. This fucking team is a bunch of rich motherfuckers. You think they're playing travel ball and Watts?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah, they only hobnob with the other richest people. This website,
every one of those kids on the team has been to like a baseball academy warehouse where they're getting special fine tuning on their swings. Yeah,
no, they're rich as hell. Okay, thank you for that, Matthew Richards. One more, Brian and Ed. I heard something this morning that was absolutely shocking. The comedian Stavros Halkias is turning 35 on Super Bowl Sunday. I would anybody within the sound of my voice, just Google that guy's name right now. Stavros Halkias.
Never heard of him. I'm looking at him now.
He's someone that I'm often accused of looking like, and look, that is very insulting, but also I kind of see it. He's like a caricaturized version of me. So I could see that. I mean, holy shit. I know I look rough and older than my years. I feel like I'm in my 20s now, thanks to 75 Hard. But this guy could pass for at least 52, if not 55. Outside of his fits that Bri is probably jealous of, that's about all he's got, right? Much love, keep it baller, Ben 906. Yeah, he's an overweight guy.
He doesn't look 34.
No, he's losing his hair. And that's, you know, he's a funny guy though. And he does kind of look like me, which is insulting, but also is something that I kind of have to agree with. Okay, let's talk some not sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
And what's popping off in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports related?
A woman gave birth in a McDonald's parking lot. Yeah. Nicknamed the baby Little McFlurry.
Was because explosive diarrhea was on the nose. Little McFlurry. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily Choice and taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller.